Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Living Shank, and Joan Adams and I host this show. Our guests this evening are Carol Wingard and Mr. 2020. We've been tossing around the idea of decluttering and wonder, is decluttering a spiritual practice? Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Kate.
How are you?
I'm great. And yes, I think it's a spiritual practice. Wow.
And a little physical, too.
Very physical.
Hi, 20, and Carol. Are you there?
Oh.
Hi. Oh, I think we lost them, isn't that
fun? I think we did, too. They'll try again.
They just sort of fell off the radar there. Tech problem. Computer crashed. That's what he says.
well, I know, go
ahead.
You're decluttering like crazy, and Kathy and I decluttered in this office yesterday. And
how is it? Does it feel better?
It really does. And what I like is I buy all these pretty little baskets and storage boxes and all this wonderful stuff every time I'm going to get organized. And now I have a whole bunch of empty ones up there. So as I organize what is remaining, I can put it all in its proper place.
You're going to have to get rid of some of those organizing bins because you won't
probably have
anything to put in them. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes. Yes. Is there some wisdom, you say?
Well, I was thinking, you know, how our parents always taught us a place for everything and everything in its place. I never have been very, very good at that, but there's some wisdom in that.
Oh, yes. If you put everything away in its so-called proper place, you know where to go to get it. And so we're always going, have you seen this? And where's this? It just drives
you a little
bit crazy.
I don't think I ever assigned places to anything.
Uh-huh.
And I did when my children were real young and before we moved here. And somehow when I moved here, I just never seemed to get it done. At one point, I had every drawer in the house labeled just inside the drawer. That was years ago at another house.
Hi, 20.
So,
hi, 20 and Carol.
Hey. How are you guys?
Great.
Good.
Waiting for your wisdom.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just all entertainment here. So, should we just dive right in? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, dive in.
Yeah.
I was telling Kate, my daughter came over and helped me declutter this office yesterday. So, yeah, dive in. Go for it.
So every year we do this year-long program that we call Remarkable. And every month has a particular theme that builds on all the stuff that we're doing. And this month we're doing something really cool, and it's called Subtraction Action.
Uh-huh.
And the whole idea behind it is, you know, to get rid of three things a day. And notice what you learn about yourself, notice what you hold on to, notice how you're willing to get rid of it. We have been selling stuff on Craigslist, tossing stuff in dumpsters, leaving stuff in interesting places for people to find. We've just been having an absolute blast just meeting people and learning about ourselves and obviously decluttering, getting the crap that we're never going to use out of the house, you know.
Hey, that's a great idea, though. I think what I'm going to do when I'm through with this massive decluttering effort is to just continue getting rid of something, like maybe 4 things or 3 things a day. I like that idea. It's really cool.
It's a habit, though. You know, you have to do it for, 27 days before it becomes a habit?
Yeah.
I think that's the only way to stay on top of it. I've been decluttering now for 10 years. You know? Decluttering. You would think there wouldn't be anything left. I think it grows.
I think we hold on to things, don't we?
Huh?
Yeah, I think it does. It does grow at night, I think. Clutter angels come and just throw it back in or something.
Mm-hmm.
They just want us to be.
Isn't it wild how our minds and lives are cluttered and we hold on to our diseases and problems just like we hold on to our stuff? And the more you give away, the more you let go. You know, it's just it is an absolute wild thing.
Now I have a question. In your house, 20, I have been in Joan's house now, talking about you and Carol's house. That was just because I have been in your house, Joan. Nothing.
Yes.
Beyond that, do you have, and if anybody were in my house, they would see just certain things that, I was going to ask you, 20, when in your house, is it like you can see totally free space?
Free space. It's really cool. A couple years ago, whenever we decided we were talking about moving, and we started getting rid of furniture. We got rid of big things. Like we got rid of an extra car that we had, and we got rid of bookshelves and stuff. And it was really interesting because, in our living room, which is where Carol's office is, we got rid of the
big clunky furniture.
The big clunky furniture. We got rid of the coffee table. And it's interesting because you come in and you don't see a TV because the TV's in a box. What you do see is Carol's computer, and there's a lot of room in the living room by comparison to most houses. But I wouldn't say that we're I have a friend, Myra, whose house is pretty zen. She's got lots and lots of space. We've got some space, but not as much as I'm sure we will in about another month or two.
Yeah. I know my sister's listening, and I just wanted to say, there's something similar when I go into her house, or my brother's house, and my house, and my parents' house. Or, when they were alive, there is a similarity. Hang on. Sid, I'm talking about you.
I'm here. Do you hear me?
I was just saying, when I go into your house or my brother's house or our brother's house and this house and then our parents' house, there's just something kind of so similar between all of our homes. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
I don't know if it's a vibe, but I think it might be the kind of similar things that we collect. I know Delaney, my brother Delaney, likes to go out to the beach and get big pieces of wood, driftwood, and suddenly his home is filled with driftwood. Or we, as we're decluttering, I'll find boxes of rocks because I love rocks, and so who needs boxes of rocks? That's my main question. It's so ridiculous. You think, I'm going to be a collector of whatever. And then these things that you've collected just take over. But these boxes of rocks are not necessarily taking over. I haven't, all of a sudden as we're decluttering, I'll see them, that they've been hidden away somewhere. And now maybe I'll just throw them out into the woods again. That might be a good thing to do.
And we have stacks of rocks.
You do?
Stacks, yes.
And now I want to tell you, I think all three of your homes are full of books, and I bet your mom and
That's
dad
right.
were too.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Lots
of books.
I was explaining to somebody this morning that a friend of ours was I mean, one of the gentlemen who was on our show recently, James Douglas, is getting a paperback edition of his book in print in October. And instead of saying a paperback edition, I said, and his paperback edition is coming out. And we all laughed because that's all, we really do have a paperback addiction here. I mean, once we're, you know, we've sorted things and gotten things out of the house, I'm just going to be giving books away for a long time.
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff that we've gotten I just don't want.
Guys, yeah, I'm sitting here looking. I'm reading books. Right now. I'm reading Throw Out 50 Things. Have y'all read that?
No.
Throw Out 50 Things?
Yeah, do. Read it. And not only is she talking about the stuff, 20, like we're talking about, but getting rid of all the rules we don't need anymore and the memories we don't need to be holding on to and grudges and all that mental clutter, junk.
Absolutely.
Well,
excellent. Really is. She's a bit harsh to me on my stuff. I'm not gonna clear out quite that much. But on my mental stuff, I really liked it a lot.
Well, I would assume that when you clear out your physical space and, you know, pretty much clear it out as much as you honestly can, that a lot of the other stuff falls away too.
I would think so, but yeah. But there are things, I was telling a friend this morning that, as I said, Kathy and I cleaned out this office, and there's a whole bunch of antique glassware that, anyway, long family story. And so we put it in the attic. I said, don't tell your brother, because they cleared out my attic about 5 years ago. There supposedly is nothing up there. But she said, Joan, why are you keeping it? Nobody wants it. I said, well, I hate to turn it loose. She said, why? Mm-hmm. She said, when you die, they're going to throw it away. Nobody wants that stuff, you know. But,
well, you know, we've been going to this Farmersville auction every Tuesday. Thank God we didn't go today. I'm getting very tired of it. But we go and pick up things for meditation chairs for the meditation retreat and so forth. And what we've noticed is that family heirlooms are going for $1 over there.
Yeah, and that's sad.
Oh, my gosh. And so people mistakenly believe that what they have is valuable. And it may be valuable to you and your memories, but I don't think anybody else wants it.
Right, right.
I don't know. It's a very strange phenomenon.
Well, I have a friend.
It's hard to know, you know, what other people want or don't want, too, because sometimes what they say about other people's, you know, your trash is somebody else's treasure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not unusual either, that somebody else can go in there and that'll be something they've always wanted.
Yeah.
So
we have friends who moved from a large home into a condominium in their senior years, and they bought a shelf, you know, thing to put in the living room, and they said, and I may have talked about this on here before, but the rule was, if it doesn't fit on those shelves, it's not coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was memory stuff, you know, and he had kept, like, his father's glasses, and, you know, she had kept something of her mother's, but they had narrowed down all that stuff that we hold on to from generations past, which impressed me. It's like, I understand that, because we keep too many things that, you know, we say, oh, no, that was Mama's favorite dish, or that was my, you know, we hold on to it.
Right.
Sometimes I think the problem is that people don't have very good memories, and so these things help them remember things. Otherwise, they wouldn't even think about it.
Or they're afraid they'll forget if they don't keep it.
Right, right. They think the only way they can remember things is if they have this or if they have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think some of the problem could be their memories, and they're just not secure that they can remember things without that stuff.
Without that proof.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right, right,
right,
yeah.
And I'm wondering what anybody here would do with boxes of old journals.
Oh.
Keep them.
You do keep
them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because someday it might be time to write that about that, and then you can go back and get the memory, you know, clearly. I mean, get not only just the memory, but how you wrote about it and what you thought about it then.
And it's almost like that is what you glean from that is like a dream.
I have
you don't
problems
remember
with
it.
So many of them.
No, I think the journals are good. I think there's some things that don't go.
Yes. Well, certainly old pictures don't go. Old pictures.
Right. I'm not ready to throw away my journals or my old pictures or, you know, all of that stuff.
Well, Kathy took all the pictures home with her, thank goodness.
I would like to give all of these pictures that we have to one of your kids who might want them. But,
yeah, they could be distributed.
I'll hang on to them, but it would be nice if somebody would step forward and say, I want them now.
Yeah.
right.
Well, not now, but, you know, whenever they say
soon,
now.
Yeah.
Whenever now
right,
is
right.
now for them. Right.
Right, yeah.
Do you guys, it's 20, and Carol, do you have things like that that, I mean, you know, Joan and Sid and I are a little older than you folks, and so we have had more time to accumulate stuff like this, like journals. I've been journaling since age 12. So I have boxes and boxes and boxes of journals, and I look at those things, and, well, now, our friend Ellen, I was talking to her about this, said that she buries things that, I don't know, like what, but she'll bury things that she can't bear to part with.
Wow.
I don't know what that. It's almost like a ritual. Maybe bury it with a prayer. You know what I mean?
Bury it like they can be decomposed,
digging.
Or
yeah,
bury
it goes back. Goes back to the earth. Yeah.
I see. Not in a metal box, but.
Yeah, and then of course she doesn't know where it is to dig it up ever. I mean, she probably would, but I mean, it sounds like she's buried quite a few things. Like, she'll bury old articles of clothing, for instance, as opposed to, you know, maybe it's an article of clothing that, well, now, our friend Ellen, everybody has to know, we're talking about generations. Their house is filled with the most antique furniture that you can imagine. It's right smack in the middle of Lancaster, and they haven't done things that, you know, like, they haven't, what would be the word, you know, when you, it's not renovate, but when you
update
it, like, for instance, putting in modern things to modern amenities. This house is like exactly like it was in the mid or early 1800s. So it is, as far as Lancaster is concerned, you know, it's a jewel for people to go in.
It was built after the Civil War, about 1868 or so. Yeah, yeah. And people moved in, they put their stuff in, and nobody ever moved it out.
Wow.
It's all still there.
That's a treasure.
Yeah, they do think so.
Yeah, well, it is, you know.
Yes,
well, then,
it is.
Wouldn't you look at it from the perspective of somebody who might have, from somebody who doesn't know anything about this, for instance, like, I'm not going to mention names, but a friend of theirs was living there for a while. And that place drove him crazy because he couldn't tolerate what he considered to be, well, it was almost like the ghosts were there. And they are. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you it wasn't like pristine space like we were talking about at the beginning of the show. You know, there is clutter there, but it's organized clutter and it's clean. You know, they'll have an Amish woman come in. We have Amish people here who like to do housework. I wish I could find one. And she comes and she cleans the clutter. She comes and cleans the house and everything. So it's clean clutter, as opposed to clutter that's been lying around for a while and develops a little mold or something.
Right.
I'm trying to make everybody laugh, that's all. Anyway, I feel that there's just so many different ways that people hang on to things. And in our case with our friend Ellen, this is just an amazing phenomenon. that house. This house tends to, it was built in 1792, and it's an old place. And as far as America goes, you know, it's not that old as far as, say,
Europe.
Yeah, and Europe, yeah. And
China.
It is, China, yeah. It's the Ming Dynasty or something.
Right.
It's not that old, right. But I think that it's just also interesting. And what we have tried to do here, just as a change the subject a little bit, what we're trying to do here is to make, we used to have the living room, all the borders, all the wood, not the walls, but all the wood in the room, painted red. It was painted red. So we painted it blue in an attempt for the house to blend into nature, because we really have this place, the beauty of this place is the river and the trees and the green and the sky. So by painting, just making that little change in the living room and in the kitchen and then the whole downstairs has created this atmosphere that the house is a part of nature. It wasn't like that before with the red. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
interesting.
Very, very interesting. It's
mm-hmm.
a light blue. That's another thing. It's not a dark blue. It's a really light blue. And you sit there and all of a sudden you get mesmerized by the green outside, and there's a lot of green here in Pennsylvania, and especially the lush. It's very lush this summer because even though we just had a very intense heat spell that kind of dried things up a little bit, but that's gone now, and we're having lots of more rain. So it's lush green, and
mm-hmm,
it feels like
mm-hmm.
the outside is part of the inside, and that's part of what the transformation we've done here in the house.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And I think it really works. Wow.
Yeah, good. Well, bringing outside in is also, I enjoy that too.
Yes.
So,
and
but I have
like
a hard time being inside. I'd rather be outside.
Yes.
So that's the problem I have in the summer, because the inside starts to get fairly neglected. And the outside gets all the attention.
Yeah.
Gardens and stuff, yeah.
You don't have the humidity out there that we have
no,
here.
No, it's dry, nice and dry. Yeah, it's dry in the summer. It's dry and hot.
And Carol Sid is living in Oregon. She lives in Eugene, Oregon. So, yeah, that's
wow.
You have this
mm-hmm.
great opportunity to, just a beautiful Pacific Northwest and just a few hours from the ocean, a few hours from the mountains. And
yeah, it's paradise.
Stuff.
It's
yeah.
paradise in the summer. There's no two ways about it. People just have a grand time. It's a place
you
to go.
You do not
for
stay
the
outside in the middle of the day in the south.
No, I know.
No.
I'm outside now, and it's the middle of the day.
No.
Wow.
I'm outside now, too, but it's cooling off.
It's not the middle of the day, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's going
no,
to be evening here, and we'll probably work into the night with this decluttering effort, which we've been discussing here, because at night it's a little cooler, and it's really great. The crickets are great. Do you have a lot of crickets over there, 20, and Carol, and you're part of the
world?
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we just love them. You know, they are. They make sleep really, really nice.
Oh, there's nothing like the crickets.
Yes, I like them too.
Twinny, do y'all have clutter? You haven't even admitted to that.
Yes and no.
What?
Clutter.
I'm the person that I don't like clutter.
Oh, really?
Not to say that we don't have some, but any chance I get, I pitch.
Do you
really? And what
about
piles of papers? Piles of papers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Paper multiplies in my house.
Yeah, what do you do with that?
Carol has lots of piles of papers at times.
Nobody knows, but your pile, not mine.
Well, that's true.
I like the way you carefully said that. That's cute.
Every so often I'll say, will you go through these and see what you want to throw away?
Right, right.
Yeah.
We go through that too, yeah.
About a year ago, I took a whole box of papers that I had been trying to go through, and I dumped them in a dresser drawer. And I saw that the other day. Kathy said, "What's in that drawer?" I said, "It's a bunch of papers I was going to go through a year ago. I think I can throw all of those safely away."
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you go through them and find something
haven't.
No.
I mean, there's maybe $1 million in that pile of stuff somewhere.
Well, you know, that's what I found. When you go through, sometimes I'll find checks. I'll find cash. I'll find pictures. I'll find stuff that I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, how could I have ignored this for so long, you know? And
if I go
and sometimes
it steals time.
It does. It does. But sometimes there will be dates on the checks that, you know, after a certain date, they're not good anymore.
Right.
So I found those, too.
Well, I have, too. So, totally.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it is worth your while to go through them a bit. You know, not too totally, but a little bit. You know, just to see.
I got on a kick lately when I started reading this 50 Things book. In fact, I started trying to see if I could throw away 50 things in an hour, and with stacks of paper, you can do that easy.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, recycling.
Yeah, doing it in 15 minutes.
But yeah,
I would
that's
set
true.
The timer. So I go through them. If I don't, I'll read every word.
That's the problem. Yeah.
You get drawn into things. Look, one time I was going through the barn, you know, one decluttering effort, and found three or four old articles or letters to the editor that I wrote that turned into articles immediately. But I abandoned the decluttering effort to write these articles. So I mean,
right.
I was,
I just found something better to do.
Yeah, much better, more creative.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is kind of creative to go through that stuff. I mean,
no,
yeah,
I can't find creativity in going through junk. I hate to go through it. I have to make myself do that. That is a real discipline issue for me.
It is.
What about Whitey?
People.
Yeah.
Oh, Whitey Adams has his block letters from high school. He's got his ball glove. He's got, when they have high school reunion, they call Whitey and say, "Bring your stuff." He's got a pair of peg pants in there. And y'all are too young to even know what peg pants are.
Do you know, Sid?
Every one of you.
Do you know what it is, Sid?
Sid,
what are
you
they?
Know what peg pants were?
Do you have a Squidoo lens on it yet?
No. Take a picture of Whitey and his peg pants. But they were men wore pants in the 50s that pulled tight around their ankles. They pegged them, like lower part of the leg was very tight. Oh,
yeah.
That was the coolest, you know. But yeah, we've got a pair of those. And so we've reached the point that things that we have that we enjoy are becoming antique, you know.
Yeah.
They're coming
yeah.
back in the style, yeah.
Oh, that's true, too. They do come back in the style.
Yeah, and but yeah, Whitey's as big a pack rat as me. He's just he is more organized.
An organized pack rat.
Yeah, yeah.
He has
well,
all
I
of his high school annuals and all that stuff.
Oh, I've got them.
I've got them. I just don't know where they are.
High school what?
I know where they are. High school annuals, yearbooks.
Oh,
I know exactly where they are. Yeah.
Well, I was looking for mine because we're having a 40th high school reunion, and I couldn't find it. And I haven't even found it going through all this stuff. It maybe there's certain things that mysteriously go into
disappear,
the ethers. Yeah. Wow. I think that there is a mystery to some things.
There seems to be. Yes.
And I think there might be a black hole in every house where things do fall into.
I don't want to find that.
Well, you know, this is an esoteric show, so you have to throw in interesting thoughts. But I have to.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, in Ellen's house, we were just talking to Ellen. We got this book from the library about squids. Not and you know, this is far before Squidoo. And Tom was really into this book, and he put it beside the bed, and then we did something to go back to get it, and it was gone. And nobody had been in the group. Nobody had been in there because nobody pays much attention to that sort of thing there. And hardly anybody was there because everybody had gone off on vacation, and we were taking care of the house. What was weird is that book never showed up. And I think there's a lot that goes on in that house with black holes.
Yeah.
Strange, yeah.
Sure. It did help to have Kathy in here yesterday and seeing things through her eyes, though.
I bet that was interesting.
And see, she,
what did you think?
You know, she's just saying, why are you keeping this? Or, what is this for? You know. I said, you know, I'm just scared y'all might want that. Mama, we don't want that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to
I hired a woman to come once and help me declutter. And not only did she help me, but she also showed me how to do it, which was very nice. I mean, it was really helpful to have that.
Now you're going to tell us how.
Well, you have a few boxes, and you put these three boxes. You have a box that you're going to give it away, you have a box you're going to keep, and you have a box you're going to throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sit down in a spot in your room, and you just start, you know, in on that. That's one way. And then, but she also helped me rearrange things and put things in places that, to this day, I still have them there. And that helped. And she was good, and she helped a lot. She also charged a lot, you know, about $18 an hour, and she wouldn't come unless she came for more than 1 or 2 hours. I mean, 2 or 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
But I see other signs up around town, too, of other people who do this for even more than that.
But,
so,
you know, I had
definitely
a friend that came in to help me do that once, and I still regret some things that she talked me into turning into. So, you know.
That's hysterical.
One was that, you know, y'all know what a husband is. I mean, not a, you know, talking about a pillow. You know. The pillow with arms. All the college girls had them. Come on, y'all. I'm not that old.
No, this is something that definitely sounds a little dated.
Anyway, mine was pretty. It was floral. It was violets, and it was gorgeous. And she talked me into selling it, and I still want it back. Like,
now, my question is,
I'm going to find that thing in a yard sale somewhere.
So it was a pillow with arms that you used in your bed, right? To read.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A bed chair.
Did you use it like regularly, with great regularity?
Right. And it had pockets in it. Mine did.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It was perfectly beautiful. Oh, I loved that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she talked to
me. Yeah,
my opinion,
I don't know that you need to turn something loose that you love and you use.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
that's
it was one
not
of the first things I bought for my granddaughter when she was born. I found a tiny one for little girls.
Yeah,
and she was getting her playpen with that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
You could get another one. There's plenty of them around.
But they don't make the pretty ones anymore.
Not as much. That's true. Right.
They all look like corduroy something.
That's true,
they're not
yeah.
beautiful.
Right.
I do think you have to be careful was my whole point, is that you can.
Yes, I think you're right. You're right.
And somebody else can't tell you what's important to you.
No. That's the truth. And that's why it's sort of like an inner game. It's not anybody else's business, really.
Right. Well, the woman that I hired to come here, her name was Aloha. And I still see her, and she's a really nice person. She's very spiritual. And so she had a way of helping me declutter that helped with the kind of the spiritual aspect of the whole process, too.
Uh-huh.
So I really liked her. Aloha. Yeah. She's pretty pretty, you know.
Telling me she is on hold.
What's that?
Who?
Betty Rush.
Oh, good. Let her on.
Yeah, I have basically walked away from the computer. But I'm back. Okay. Hi, Betty Rush.
I am the queen of clutter.
I don't believe it for a moment.
Oh,
no, I really am. Hi, y'all. This is fun.
Nice to hear your voice.
I love it. I just love it.
Betty, did you ever meet my sister Sid and 2020 and Carol also?
Hello, hello. I'm Joan's sister.
Oh,
and
good.
I'm in Athens, Georgia. But I have to go along with that. I was thinking about the three things you were talking about with the decluttering. I taught a class twice on decluttering.
Oh, good.
And the introduction included a big explanation that I can tell you how to do it, but you're not coming to my house for cake and coffee. Because it's just a difficult process, you know.
It's ongoing.
Yeah, and Joan, you mentioned that. I think that's true. I think it does have to be ongoing. That kitchen junk drawer can become a mess in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, you just throw something in there, and if you don't go back and attack it again, it's going to stay that way. But
let me ask you this. What's the one thing you've turned loose you wish you hadn't?
Piece of furniture I sold at a yard sale, and I do that yearly. I have a yard sale.
Uh-huh.
And my quota is $40, y'all. It costs me $20 to do the ad. But it forces me to get stuff out the door. And then it goes from outside to a thrift house for somebody. So I make myself do that almost yearly. But,
you do regret a piece of furniture?
Yes, and it's been 20 years. Plus, I do regret it still. So, you know, you make choices and it's gone and what, you know, it hadn't hurt me and nobody's injured. It's all fine.
Yeah.
I still wish I had it.
Now, did anybody read that quote I have had on the prayer blog I saw on the way to Farmersville on a church thing? It said, has anybody ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse?
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
You know,
you can't take it with you.
That's really important. That's part of the spiritual process, I think.
Yeah.
Our kids don't want to go through this stuff.
That's the
point. They really
don't. And that's why mine came and cleaned out the attic two or three years ago, and they took everything out of the attic. And until yesterday, the attic was totally clean.
What happened
yesterday? My son does not know there's anything up there. We're not telling.
We're talking about the antique glass, you said, is up there.
Yeah.
Oh, but, yeah, I just, you know.
I think the thing we make, when we make our choices, that we need to mark them for the children if they are significant. And I make a mistake of not doing enough of that. I have little notes stuck in this space or this whatever. To explain why that's important to me. And so then they will realize, okay, it was important to Mother. Is it important to me? Then that's their problem. But and I have a year or two worth of stuff to go through because I am the keeper. There's no doubt about it. Anyway,
now, did you hear Kate talking about the pictures going to the next generation, Betty? And Kathy did take all the pictures out of here yesterday, but you were talking about all that genealogy stuff.
I have over 50 notebooks, y'all.
Oh, my God.
In archival sleeves of every facet of family. And a lot of it is, you know, somebody called me, several weeks ago and said, I have this pitiful-looking picture of great-grandfather so-and-so. Do you have a better one? And I found it and had a fabulous copy made, and, you know, we documented this relative so-and-so, and she was getting into, you know, one of the organizations and wanted her children to have this good photograph. And I found it. But I can't part with those things. They've got to somebody.
No.
Young people have to take it over. That's the thing.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the state family reunion now.
Yeah.
The way you all, especially in your generation, have had these reunions. And I've never been to a reunion at all like yours. I mean, it was a very touching, intimate experience, and people were very, and your family are very interested in their lineage. It's not like a family reunion where everybody gets together and chows down and doesn't want to talk to each other because they either hardly know each other or can barely stand each other or whatever. You two, you guys all love each other, and you all are very preciously trying to preserve your family history. And you're worried that the children coming up aren't going to do it. Although I think Kathy and I think Betty, your children are interested in it.
And Emily's children.
They're starting to show some interest.
But, Joan, you've been strong in instilling that in them. And I think by including them and, you know, so on, you stimulate that interest in heritage. And I was telling some of the volunteers this morning, Kate would love it, I work at a hospital, too. But I was telling some of them about the show, and I said, I can't wait to see what I can learn tonight and see if I can get rid of something. That everybody's different, and your interest level, whether it be rocks or driftwood or genealogy, those things are important to your life. And so I don't know that letting go of those is what should really happen. That those are part of your memories and part of your being.
Of the stuff that is not a part of your being.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I have too many notepads or too many paper clips or, you know, whatever I happen to have, which I do. You let go of those things or share those or pass them on. And that was the title of my thing was Pitch, Pass, or Possess, because the things either possess you or you possess them.
Uh-huh.
And,
that's good. That's a good one. Pitch, pass, or possess. Yeah.
Yeah. And so those are my three baskets. You know?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Oh.
Right. Pitch,
Anyway. It's fun. It's good to talk to you, and I'm going to get off the phone and let you finish your show, but I just had to say hello and put in my 2 cents worth.
Love you, and
well,
thank
we
you.
We appreciate
so
that.
Again.
Thank you very much.
So much.
Love you.
Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, she's so delightful. I love her.
She is a neat, neat lady, isn't she? Thank you.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. I miss her.
your reunion roommate.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was really fun.
And like I said, that was an interesting experience in terms of the way you all did your thing. There was nothing quite like it that I had ever experienced.
I knew that before you ever came. I knew that was going to be a culture shock.
Well, you know, it has to do with the way most people have their family reunions. It's not like that. And
well, we have nice family reunions.
Yeah,
I've got family reunions, but they aren't quite as, doesn't sound like they're as deeply considered. But at the same time, we had a family reunion a few years ago, it was hard for me to have it over. We hated having it over. It was like we left just in sheer grief.
Yeah.
Well, those times spent together are not something that happen all this time, and they never happen.
They don't happen very often, no.
Yeah,
we have a very small family. We have a very small family. So that makes them, you know, small reunions.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
It does. And this one is not old either. This reunion, we just started in like 2000 or maybe 98, but... You know,
oh, I see, yeah.
When the older generation, the last of the older generation died, we thought if we don't stay together, this is going to get lost.
Very
wise,
You know, because, older generations do die off. And
they do, yes.
You know, a group that have held things together, and we
mm-hmm.
had never had reunions. We just decided we're scattered all over everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Some of us didn't know each other at all. It was quite, the first one was quite interesting. But, yeah, all of that. See, too, I'm such a nut, too, on writing your personal history and having your, I'm not as big a genealogy person as Betty Rush, but I'm glad she has it. I think it's that
uh-huh.
important.
Yeah.
But I also think it's even more important that we write our stories for the
uh-huh.
kids.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
Because if we don't, that history's lost. I talked to a lady this morning whose brother-in-law fought in World War II. And I said, you know, Patsy, and he fought under Patton. I said, uh-huh. he has got to write this down. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's in his 80s. If he doesn't, in a few years, that will be gone. Not the history, but his history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His story.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I just think we, as a civilization, we need to know
mm-hmm.
our history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And personally, you know, Whitey did record his, and I think I've told you all that, but he did that this winter, and we have a friend who's transcribing it, because we all need to sit down. I was born X. I went to elementary school at.
Mm-hmm,
my favorite
mm-hmm.
memory is.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
just need to do it, and Joan Adams hasn't done it. I on a bandbox about it, and I haven't done it.
I thought you wrote a length about it.
I did, I've got Mother's diary from the year she met Dad, which I treasure. But also at one point she started writing her story.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote about meeting him. Now, Mother was a typist, so it's like 2 pages typed. And then it's gone, you know, then she quit. But at least we have that little piece. You know, if you don't do anything but write 2 or 3 pages,
mm-hmm.
but the generation that follows, then at least they have some sense of who you were.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well,
uh-huh.
I think it's a very treasurable story to write of how you met the person you married
yeah.
and love.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I know that as a nurse, I will ask people how they've met. And that's a story that lights people up. They love to tell
yeah.
it. They might tell
uh-huh.
you something they never have told anybody else, but you don't know. And it is. It's a really neat thing. And if you write that down, somehow, you know, do something with it.
Well, and you
give
and
it,
I
yeah.
talked
give it to
before,
these
and
yeah.
all of us on this phone call right now remember where we were when John Kennedy was shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I
yeah.
bet you your kids don't know where you were.
Very good.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
And I asked Kathy one day, I said, do you know? And she guessed wrong, you know. I said, no. because that's important. I can tell you where I was when the Challenger exploded. Do you?
Yes.
Yes.
Do your kids know that?
No.
I don't. You know.
I just think
that.
The TMI explosion here was another one. But what was really intense was the 9/11 thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 that was.
Yes, and I'll never forget that day.
Mm-hmm.
But
no.
the next generation might.
Right.
If we don't write it down. That's
yeah, yeah.
end of lecture, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This was an important event, and it needs to be noted.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. We lose 20.
We're still here.
Hey. We got off on a tangent, didn't we?
I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Yeah, we're not talking about decluttering anymore.
No, we're off on family history. So, but that's
yeah.
part of it. You know, you have to hold the things that matter and let
mm-hmm.
go of the things that don't.
Well, the whole time we've been talking, I've been weeding.
Have you?
Oh,
really?
Wow. Cool.
That,
yeah.
That's very symbolic.
I thought so. I thought that's uh-huh. why I'd say it. Yeah.
I like that. Well,
that is really symbolic, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish
yeah.
I had sat here with that stack of papers now.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to eat for dinner in a short bit here.
Do what?
Weeds.
Weeds.
We have some edible weeds.
Yes.
What kind of edible weeds do you have?
Tonight we're doing a combination of kale and, you know, kale's obviously not a weed. But
yeah.
We also have what's called goose foot or lamb's quarters, and we've stir fried a bunch
of
that up. And
oh,
that's going in some nice wild rice, and it'll be weeds and rice for dinner tonight.
All right.
How do you
I love poke weed.
Oh, yeah, I love it too.
So how do you do the lamb's quarters?
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
The lamb's quarter is probably my favorite way for them is to just stir fry them up with a little bit of garlic.
And olive
tonight,
oil?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Tonight we stir fried them up a little bit with the kale and tossed in some curry, and all that's going to go in with the rice.
That's
some onions
good.
And garlic as well. So good
that
stuff.
That keeps the food bill down.
Oh, yeah. We can go for about $30 a month here.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah. Now we do spend significantly more because we do enjoy some wings once in a while or something. But we can eat for about $30 a month here.
That's excellent. That's great.
That's amazing.
That's keeping things simple.
Oh yeah. If you haven't been, we have a website which has a lot of the weeds that we eat up there. If you go to nativeeyes.com. Just like it sounds, nativeeyes.com, nativeeyes.com. And you can see we usually put up one weed a week, one week every 10 days or so. You know, basically what's in season we're posting up. And you can literally look on the website and then walk outside and get some dinner.
Wow.
Right on.
Yeah,
Church of Weeds too, had you? Still got the Church of
Weeds.
Oh
yeah, I tell you what, the Church of Weeds is a great way to expose what we're doing. We have just we are having an absolute blast with the with the feedback that we're getting on the Church of Weeds. So
is
the funniest thing is,
Is that www.churchofweeds.com?
Churchofweeds.com and churchofweeds.org. I think both of them go to that.
Cool. Go ahead.
Me? Hey, I will toss one more little thing into the mix with the decluttering since you wanted to know what we're doing with that. The number one thing that I've noticed that's helped me goes back to one of the first things I got rid of was an old Pentax K1000 35mm camera. And back in the day, that was probably $100 or $200 or something. I don't even remember what I paid for it. But it was a nice little simple 35mm camera, and I hadn't used it in 10 years. And so I was figuring, what do I want to do with this? I don't want to pitch it out because it's a beautiful piece of machinery, but they were selling for like $15 on eBay. So, and I don't want to go through the hassle of packing it up to sell it. So that was the beginning of our experiment with Craigslist. And what we've been doing with Craigslist is we've been meeting interesting people by putting up crazy ads. We met a really interesting guy who believes he's an alien who bought a box of books off of us.
Ooh.
Really neat guy.
I love it. We met
a beautiful young lady who has I think a 4-month-old. She's the one that bought the camera. We've been just having a blast. Carol had this big, beautiful black man drive 2 hours the other day to buy one of her old iPhotograph God cameras. And it was the neatest thing. The guy sat in traffic and everything, and eventually made it out here to the country. And he was just a darling fella. And I think you know one of the biggest things which has helped me with this whole thing is I hate to pitch a camera. I hate to pitch even my broken lawnmower. My broken lawnmower is currently up on Craigslist.
With a
broken weed whacker. But I put in that ad I was pretty sloppy with. I just put in, I am not mechanical. I've got a broken weed whacker and a broken lawnmower. Get them out of here. $10 for both, I think. And we'll see what happens. I'll probably meet somebody interesting and you know, get pizza money from getting rid of this stuff that I haven't used for 2 years. So it sort of takes the shift off of the stuff. And brings it on to people, and it just tickles me to know that we have two cameras that got into the hands of people that will appreciate them. We sold a guitar today to a really cool young guy we met at a farmer's market. It was cool having him stop over at the house and get to know him and his sweetheart a little better. Just that shift from, I don't want to pitch this because it's good, to I can't wait to find out who the next owner of this is.
Yeah.
We even got rid of my old motorcycle. And when the guy called, I took about a dozen calls on it. But the guy who bought it, when he called, when he was hanging up the phone, he goes, when he made his first phone call to us, he was hanging up the phone and he goes, "Woohoo!" And I told Carol, I says, "We found the guy.
Yeah.
We found the guy that's going to love the bike." And sure enough, he showed up and he's like, "It's going to need this, that, this, and I'll take it."
And, what you're describing is a real leisurely decluttering effort. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not as frantic as what y'all are trying to do.
I'm not into building frantic into people's lives. We need world peace, not world frantic.
Oh well,
it was frantic in here
yesterday. I'm afraid I have a deadline. I'm a little bit more frantic. Yeah. But that's okay. You know, frantic has its place. And actually, we're not that frantic. I mean, we're having a good time.
Good.
Sometimes. No, it's fun.
You ought to try just abandoning stuff, too.
I want to do that, yeah.
So Carol and I went shopping, and I had two pairs of sunglasses I didn't use anymore. And so I walked in the store, and I'm wearing one pair, and the other pair is in my pocket. And we're walking along, and I said, "Look at this, butt wipes." And we're looking at the butt wipes, right? And sure enough, I take off my glasses, and I'm looking at the ingredients on the butt wipes. I put the butt wipes back, and I walk off and leave the glasses there.
That reminds me of the Todd Silva thing. That's exactly
the Todd Silva thing. So we did the same thing with coffee. We're at the coffee, and I'm going, "Look, they make this thing called decaf." and I take off my glasses and look at this, honey. There's no caffeine in this. And then I leave the glasses when we walk away.
Uh-huh.
And somebody gets to go, "Who was that guy?" he was making a big deal about decaf or butt wipes or whatever. Right? But then they end up keeping the sunglasses. So
the person that needs them will find them.
That's
what I love about that, because that in divine order they will be found by the right person.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a marvelous idea. That is, and it's fun, like you said. That is fun.
And it would be hard to carry this old printer in there, though, and drop it off somewhere.
People around here put things on the curb. They just put things out on the street in front of their house.
That's free.
And people come and get it. Yeah, yeah. I've seen that a few times in different places, yeah.
And we can do that if it's not there long, like the big children's plastic toys that they ride on and all of that.
I
did a lot of that
with
the grandchildren's stuff. And people pick it up on the way to school.
You know,
the mama will stop and pull over and grab, because that little tyke stuff, I promise you, lives forever.
Yep.
and once they're through with it, it's just in the way. But it grows. That stuff does grow. Seriously grows.
Yeah.
And then some child is happy. Yeah.
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 They get another year out of it or two and pass
when
it on to somebody
children,
else. Or something.
When people have children and have all those toys, that would be a good way to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that stuff gets passed along pretty easily. Yeah.
I'm clearing out the living room this summer. While the children are away, I had them pick out what was important to them, and the rest of it I'm moving on.
Right.
They're getting old enough to play with smaller things. You know, as they grow older, they really do. They don't need the great big plastic whatever.
No. They outgrow it. They don't need it. They don't want it.
The coffee can full of little men is wonderful.
Little aliens.
A little aliens.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed the show completely. This has been fun.
Too. Good.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Thank you, guys.
Relaxing and fun.
Well, and I made some notes.
Does anybody have anything to say in the next 30 seconds? Go ahead.
I'd made notes about the Church of Weeds. Is that churchofweeds.org or .com?
I think both will go there. Yeah, I think both will go there.
Okay.
I know .org does.
Okay,
cool.
Good. Oh yeah, I'm going to look that up.
That's very serious.
We've eaten a lot of weeds in our time.
Yeah.
We lived next to the ocean at one point, and sometimes we'd just go down and get the mussels and the miners let us and come on back and eat dinner. It was great.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So, I'm cooking up some beans right now with seaweed in it. Keeps the beans from being causing flatulence, to say it nicely.
Oh, nice. Put seaweed in them.
Yeah.
I didn't
uh-huh.
know that.
Yeah, certain kinds of seaweed, but you, yeah, anyway, so.
Kombu.
Kombu, yeah, that's right. This is not kombu. This is a different one. This is called, I don't know if I have a label on here. Oh, yeah. This one's called Fucus, F-U-C-U-S. But kombu is another one. You can buy that easily. Fucus, I don't think you can. We got
right.
that out of the ocean, too, so. So, okay, it was nice talking to all of you. Thank you
nice
for letting
you,
me
everybody.
On.
Okay. Have a great night. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Love
you.
Okay.
Love you all.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.